What is up, our friends from the internet? It's the Tech Yeah Games podcast once again, coming at you live. I'm your host, Tony, here with my amazing co-host, Leo.
Hell yeah.
Another week. It is another week in the book. This is the last week of January. We are into...
Last day.
February 2021, guys. We are...
Yeah. Sounds so futuristic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Remember when we thought 2021 was going to, like, be the good year?
Well, it was good for some people.
Yeah, I mean... You know, it's, I guess it's good, right? We got some vaccines coming.
There's some good stuff in the pipeline. Like, I don't know. There's some good stuff. There's some bad stuff too, but I don't know. I do think things are looking up overall.
I think things are looking up overall too. I agree with you, Leo. I am and have always been very hopeful for our futures. But with all that hope in mind, Leo, what have you been playing this week?
So this week, well, actually last week I played through The Medium. Which is a horror game that was made by Team Bloober, who also made Layers of Fear and Observer.
Is there a worse studio name than Team Bloober?
No, not that I know of. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's very strange, too, because they make games that they think are very serious, you know? Like, it's not like... something called Team Bloober, you'd think they make, like, Slime Rancher or, like, whatever that Pokemon clone game was, you know? But no, they make, like, very serious horror games.
Yeah, you'd think Team Bloober is a team that makes games with beans, you know, like Fall Guys or
Puyo Puyo Tetris. Or
Puyo Puyo, right? Like, like everything should be shaped like a bean if you're Team Bloober.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a Polish studio. So one thing that was cool about this game is it all takes place in Poland, which is kind of nice. I don't know a lot of games that take place in Poland. I'm sure there's some. I'm just ignorant. But that was kind of cool. They did speak English, so... But I don't know. It was kind of neat to just feel like you're in another country.
I don't think that's how Poland works.
What do you mean?
I don't think they speak English in Poland.
I'm sure they do sometimes, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they speak Polish.
Which would have
actually been kind of nice. Like, I wish more games would do that. I understand why they don't, but if I could have played it in Polish, that would have been really neat, I think. It would have just added to, like, the different kind of vibe it had.
I wish games were more willing to be, like, default language with subtitles, and maybe even ask you at the start, like, do you want this to be dubbed into English?
Yeah.
But, because, for some reason, I always would prefer the default language of subtitles. Like,
especially if it takes place in another country. Like,
especially then.
It's like, yeah, of course, man. Like, the Japanese do it all the time. They don't care.
Yeah. They care more, it seems, lately than they used to. But
that's a good point. But anyway, I played through the whole game. I reviewed it. If you want in-depth thoughts, it's on Game Crate. You can just look it up.
Game Crate, premium gaming news.
Yeah, it's a pretty long review, so I'll spare you all of those details. But basically, it's a very interesting game. It's very cool looking. It's very beautiful, I think, especially the environments. Like, it's really gotten to the point now where you saw us a little bit with Resident Evil 8 too, where really everything does look pretty much photorealistic in a lot of ways. Until you get, like, really up close to stuff, it's like, it's about as close as I can expect. It looks like the pre-rendered backgrounds of, like, old games. You know how amazing those looked?
You played it on PC?
I did, and unfortunately it was an awful experience playing on PC.
I've heard it runs terrible.
Mostly because my hardware is old. But yeah, it was rough. There was many times where I couldn't even get 30 frames per second.
Yeah, your hardware's not that bad, you know.
Yeah, like, it's a 1080 and a 7700K, so it's like, you know, it's a few years old. It's definitely creaky, but the fact that I couldn't even hit 30, I was playing at 2560, so I probably could have bumped it down. And it's sort of the whole thing about this game is there's times where it splits in half, and you'll be controlling the same character in, like, a hell dimension and in our normal world, which is very cool. They do some cool stuff with that, not as much as I was hoping, but. You know, it's an interesting concept that I'd never seen executed, you know, like, doing it simultaneously. But that would just crater the frame rate, as you'd imagine, because it is sort of doing it twice. It's rendering two different environments at the same time.
I heard it runs bad on all hardware, so I don't think...
I don't know. Digital Foundry said that it runs okay on the new Xbox, which is what it's, like, an exclusive for.
No, I mean PC hardware.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, it definitely... did not feel optimized. To be fair, I played it before the NVIDIA driver update, so I don't know if that helped. Probably helped a little bit, but I can't imagine it made it, like, you know, a million times better. So that aside, which was kind of depressing just because it made my computer feel old, it's an interesting game. It's not scary, which is unfortunate. It really, at no point, was I even remotely frightened. And the gameplay is very basic. Like, there's very little actual... gameplay, really. Most of it's like exploring, and there's puzzles, but they're so sort of shallow and almost barely puzzles at all. Like, you just find an item and that'll allow you to progress. It essentially turns into like a fetch quest through the whole thing, to the point where I almost wish they just took all that out and just like, no, you're just exploring. Like, that would have been fine. Because what it does really well is the environments. The environments are awesome, and especially the environments when you're in like the Land of the Dead. It's really cool. There's some really remarkable imagery, like when you're out. There's a great scene where you're running, and it's constantly switching between worlds, like while you're running seamlessly. There's no loads or anything. It's very cool. Like, I'd never seen anything like that before. So there was definitely some very strong imagery and art direction. And I think it's a very beautiful game, both like fidelity wise, and then also the art direction really is cool. The cutscenes were really directed well. It's quite a nice game to look at in many ways. Outside of that, though, it's pretty rough. Like, the story I didn't care for. A lot of other people did like it. I did not. And like I said, the gameplay is very basic. So it's a mixed bag overall. Definitely not like, I don't think it's going to be a system seller.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a lot like Hellblade was to me. You know what I mean? Where it's a very good looking game. I think maybe
looks a little different.
Looks different. Interesting story. You know, maybe it'll stick with some people, won't with others. Interesting environment, but no real, you know, like Hellblade was the same thing, right? You kind of walk around and have some sort of puzzles, right? That aren't really actual puzzles. You know what I mean? You're just kind of like,
no, that's true. That's an interesting comparison. I wouldn't have thought of that, but you're kind of right as far as like pretty shallow gameplay and really much more focused on aesthetics and
having
kind
never
of the
played,
atmosphere.
Yeah. Having never played it, when I heard your description, I'm like, that sounds like Hellblade. Yeah. You know, like that's what the game sounded like as you described it, right?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. What's funny about it is it's, you know, I think they kind of leaned into the marketing of like, it's like Silent Hill. Not to make everything about Silent Hill, but they even hired the composer from Silent Hill, who's like, you know, Akira Yamaoka, who's great. But And I'm not going to give any spoilers to the story, but there was even like one thing where I was like, that's pulled straight out of Silent Hill. Like, what do you mean? They're just, you can't just
babies?
Like, no, not an enemy. You can't just like straight up copy something. It's a little weird. So that was, it's definitely not like a spiritual successor to Silent Hill. I'm not sure why they kind of leaned into that a little bit, but I'll tell you this, it's a great game for like part of a $10 a month package or whatever. Like at that point I could definitely recommend it.
I do feel like, you know, there's been such a disparity in reviews, and, you know, I do feel like a big part of that is people, you know, a lot of people that are reviewing it really do see it through this lens of Game Pass and like, you know, it's fine, but it's, you know, costing me nothing. So it's great. You know what I mean? Like, I really do feel like we've kind of come to the point where putting numerical scores on that and kind of making comparisons against like value propositions is really it's a difficult thing, and I think it's a strange ground to walk, right? Because you know, we kind of talked about it before, and I was like, oh, if I was a kid that loved horror games, I'm an adult that does not like horror games.
Yeah, you're the opposite of that.
I'm the opposite of that person. But you know, if I saw this got a nine out of 10 on GameSpot and wanted to buy it for retail price, not part of a subscription package, you know, I think that 9 out of 10 would feel unjustified. Right.
Yeah.
Then again, I think if you have Game Pass and you're a kid that loves horror games and you download this as part of something that's already been paid for, that you have no buy-in for, and you're just going to try it and see what it is, you're like, this is pretty cool, man. You know, like, and so I think that disparity really, really messes up the score gaming. I mean, I think scores for games are dumb regardless.
Yeah, I think this is a good example of why, but yeah, I agree.
I think this kind of really illustrates the difficulties and kind of the perspectives that different people will take into these, and how these scores is like this this kind of end all be all. This is what the game is value wise is pretty broken as a system.
I agree, and also value is so subjective, like financially, but also subjective as far as like what you get out of something, right? Like this game is, I think I beat it in, I don't know, 6-7 hours, like pretty quick. I had no trouble getting through it. I only got stuck once, and it was a bullshit reason that pissed me off. But
I hate that so much.
Yeah, and it's funny when you're reviewing a game because you can't use a walkthrough, right? Because no one's written anything. So it's sort of funny because in a situation like that, as I've gotten older, I'm less hesitant to just Google shit. I'm like, I'm not gonna waste time unless it's a combat encounter I know I can beat. But if it's like something you're just stuck, or like when you get the sense a quest is glitched out, but you don't know for sure, just you can just Google that shit. But you can't do that when you're reviewing a game, so you kind of just have to power through. But all that to say, 6-7 hours. I don't know exactly how long it was. Probably around there. And that's fine. Like, I have no problem with a game being short if it's extraordinary, right? Like, if those 6 hours are really remarkable,
yeah,
then it could absolutely be worth $50. $10 an hour for a really amazing experience seems totally fine. However, to someone else, if they didn't find it amazing, like 6 hours and really no replay value for a story that you kind of, you know, wouldn't be surprising the second time through, that can be a much tougher sell. But, you know, it's just hard to argue what someone's value is, which is why I think the score system, to your point, is pretty archaic and not really accurate. And also, yeah, just value in general is sort of such a generic term.
And especially like go ahead.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. Like, again, Silent Hill 2, for example, is probably around the same length, but it's just so much more powerful in every way. And there is some replay value, and like, I don't know. I guess what I mean is the length of a game can't really determine its value. However, it can be a factor, you know?
Yeah. And I do feel like the voices at these like major publications, like there's so much transition, especially right now in who writes the reviews for where, you know, that you don't really get to have a consistent voice on an individual's value system and kind of you get used to, like, you read IGN all the time, you know, they have 3 or 4 people basically reviewing games. And so, like, if the guy you like gives it, you know, an 80, you're like, I trust that guy. Right.
Yeah.
We're now with so much writing being freelance and so many people kind of moving between sites. I feel like that,
and like turnover that being so high.
Yeah. That landscape is so tumultuous currently that, you know, it really is difficult to get a gauge of, what does this site 70 mean versus what does this site's 100 mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny though. I just looked up the Metacritic for this game, and 71 is the Metascore on Xbox. And it's number 2 best Xbox Series X game of 2021.
Well, it is, to be fair, the second one.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it's only January, so whatever, but no, it totally, is so funny to
that
see.
That is,
like,
very funny.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I did think about that as, like, you know, its gimmick is sort of a performance based one. Like, the it really is cool exploring the two things at once. Like, I really haven't seen that before, and it really is kind of a neat idea. And, you know, I don't think it makes the game way better necessarily, but it certainly is novel, and it does feel like, oh, this is cool. It's experimental. Like, it's neat. And I don't think you could do that on the current gen consoles. I really don't. I mean, you couldn't even do it on my computer, which is way more powerful than current gen consoles. So, you know, there's something to be said for that, but I really can't imagine someone playing this game and be like, dude, this is it. This is next gen, finally.
Yeah. Did you find the fixed perspectives troubling in that game?
No, because I'm used to survival horror from that era. Actually, found it kind of neat. It was sort of enjoyable because I love that genre, but I could totally understand if someone was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, why is my left to do nothing?
Yeah, it's just like, it's a throwback, you know? It again, it's really trying to throw back to those old days. It's a weird amalgamation of, like, 90s point-and-click adventure games with, like, the weird puzzles and, like, esoteric items, and then sort of Silent Hill 2, 3 style, like, fixed perspective, but it does move with you, but it's definitely still kind of locked, which allows them to do some neat stuff with, like, camera movement and shit that, you know, there's something to be said for the developer controlling the camera when it works. They can use it in pretty effective ways, but it definitely feels old, which I actually, again, enjoyed. But I could, that kid we were talking about earlier, that sort of theoretical kid who bought it and who had just played, you know, I don't know, Resident Evil 7 and maybe played Alien Isolation, maybe played Dead Space, and then tried to play this, might be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this is whack. This is a 71 Metascore.
Yeah, I think the score I ended up giving it, because it just amalgamates everything together, was like 7.5, which even that felt a little high, but that sounds about right. Like, it's good. It's functional. It's just, you know, it's a beautiful game. If it wasn't for that,
sounds like a great Game Pass game.
Yeah, exactly. And I that sounds so dismissive, but it's
I'm being dismissive.
So totally. But it's kind of true. Like, it's exactly the kind of game, if you got on Game Pass, you'd install it and play it and probably be like, yeah, this is cool. You probably wouldn't finish it. Maybe put in a couple hours on a Saturday and be like, yeah, this is neat. This is a good showcase for my new Xbox.
If it was on Xbox Live Arcade, you would be like, wow, this is great.
This is great. Value. Yeah. You know, yeah. If it was like, if it was $15-$20 on that, I'd be like, holy shit, this is really cool. You're right.
Yeah, I do feel like Xbox is kind of getting back to that place that they were with Live Arcade, which I'm not mad. Like, I liked that era. I love
that shit. That was so cool.
It was so cool, but it's also not a thing to hang your hat on. You know what I mean?
No, like, totally. You're right. Yeah. It's not a system seller.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It was interesting. Like I said, if you want to read like a pretty long review, go check out Game Crate. You can hear all my thoughts in detail.
All the reviews I've seen have been very long.
Yeah. I tend to write long ones, but I don't know why. The other game I played, though, which is very different, was Greedfall, which was a PlayStation Plus free game for January. So I just downloaded it. It's something I'd always been kind of interested in, but didn't actually know that much about, other than I saw a couple trailers and it looked kind of neat. And it's a very interesting game. I like it a lot, actually. It's very... have you played it?
I assume you haven't.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like quite up your alley, but it's like, it's almost like a, it's like, it reminded me immediately of like Dragon Age, right? Like a BioWare era RPG, which I like those a lot. It has that feel to it where it's, you know, third person and you run around and you're just solving quests and there's combat, but it's pretty straightforward, except it has like the look of, it's like colonial combined with fantasy. It's very unique. So it's almost like Bloodborne, if Bloodborne wasn't like super goth, but set with RPG trappings, and you know, there's swords and hammers and guns, and there's also magic and fantasy. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and it's a totally different world. And it's the art direction is really neat. Like, the buildings look cool, and everyone's outfits are very interesting. And they, you know, they put a lot of work into building this very strange, surreal world, but it's actually quite neat, I think, and pretty engaging. That's helped a lot by pretty good dialogue, I think. Very good voice acting for the most part. And it's just fun. It's fun to explore. It's kind of a pretty game, despite the fact that it's so janky, because it was made by a pretty small team. And it's clearly very ambitious for the team size. But luckily, so far at least, I haven't encountered anything game-breaking. So it's kind of in that place where most of the glitches are actually pretty amusing and fun, and kind of adds to the charm a little bit. But yeah, it's cool. I really like it, actually. I'm enjoying the dialogue. I'm really enjoying the world and exploring, and I really like the way it's written. It's very like verbose and very flowery. There's a lot of dialogue, as you'd expect from an RPG of that time. And yeah, I think it looks pretty good given the size of the team, and it's running on the PS4 Pro. Yeah, it's really neat. It's exactly the kind of game that, well, I got it for free and I'm really happy to be playing it. But yeah, it's cool. I think I'll definitely continue with it. I've put in, I think, 4 or 5 hours so far and really enjoyed my time, despite the fact it is pretty busted. Like, it definitely looks like a pretty low budget game, despite the really good art direction, if that makes sense. It looks really good and really bad at the same time, if that makes sense. I know it's hard to describe that, but I think you know what I mean.
Like, I was looking at it, like, the movement looks so bad.
Yeah, the animation is awful, and the character models are terrible, but the costumes are amazing. It's like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like when you were like, look at like Half-Life mod running and stuff, where everyone's just kind of like their arms and legs aren't right, you know, like they're not like they're just using generic animations for movement.
Exactly. That
don't sync to the the like impact, like, or the physics.
Totally.
But it does look cool. I actually have been thinking about playing it, because I grabbed all the games this month because they had the shark one, which I think was really good.
And oh, that was only on PS5 though.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, it's cool. Whatever. An asshole.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's worth trying. Like I said, I mean, it really reminds me of Dragon Age, Mass Effect. Like, you could tell that's kind of what they're going for. Only, you know, the generation after that. So it looks better, but it just has that feel. And I love those games. There's something really like cozy about them, for lack of a better word. And yeah, it's cool. I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm planning on hopping back in for sure. I'll update y'all next week.
Yeah, I think you can redeem the games without the console, the PS5 games.
Oh, really?
I think if you go on the app or something, I don't know, I have to look at how you do it.
Yeah, maybe if you do it through a browser or something, because I saw it in the browser, but I couldn't access it.
Yeah, someone told me that there's a way. I don't know what the way is, but you could probably Google it and find it. I could probably Google it right now and find out, but I'm doing a show. I'm busy. So,
I could probably do it later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're listening, if you are interested, I would check that out because we got some big games coming next month on PS Plus.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's exciting. I'm glad I got PS Plus when I did. It worked out, and I'm glad I got to play this. I actually did play a little bit of Ratchet and Clank too, just to kind of check it out. But only like half an hour. So I don't really have a lot to say about that.
To jump in on some Ratchet and Clank. What a good game.
Yeah, it seems cool so far. Like,
yeah,
you know.
People really love those guys. You know?
Yeah, again, I think it's if you grew up with it, especially, which I didn't, I could see how, you know, seeing it all fancy and new looking could be really kind of neat. And I'm sure it'll be very cool on the PS5. I'm excited to check that out, too.
Yeah, for sure.
What did I play this week? Yeah.
To be honest, I was very busy this week with work, so I didn't get to play a lot. That's the God's honest truth, okay? I was very busy. I did play some Hard Final Fantasy. Man.
Yeah, nice. I played a little bit, too.
Yeah, it's because we're doing a HubSpot integration at our office. And so HubSpot's kind of like Salesforce, and so it's just like so much.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare, and like, you know, my position, like I build all these automations and stuff, and just transferring over and building it was just such a nightmare.
Yeah.
But it's good. I say it's a nightmare. I actually do really like it. You know, like this kind of stuff is like the stuff I like to do. It's very technical. But I did play something different this week and I thought I'd bring it up. I've been playing a lot of Tekken 7.
Oh, wow. Interesting. We don't talk a lot about fighting games on this show, but I'm glad we can.
I feel like I take a taste of them every once in a while. Yeah. And, you know, because I do like fighting games. I'm just not good at them. Yeah. Like, you know, I think it's because I had brothers growing up and a sister. But so I always had a bunch of people in the house. So, like, fighting games were always fun, like, in-house games.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you always kind of match the skill level of everyone in your house. And everyone kind of, like,
yeah, you grow
collectively
together.
Got better together. Yeah, grew together, which I thought was really fun. My problem with this modern era is that that's not the case with fighting games. You know, like you have to be on this global level of skill.
And we're just not quite there, are we?
And yeah, I am not there. I will say, though, Tekken 7, more than other fighting games I've played, like I did play some online and it wasn't that bad. Like I won some games. I lost some games. I feel like normally like Street Fighter, if I jump in and try, like I just lose, like,
yeah,
just nonstop lose until I like practice. And then I win one and lose four instead of losing all five.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if Tekken just has a big audience or a lot of people that aren't very good that play it or it churns a lot or whatever, but I was finding games with people that were around my skill level. Right. And, I won more matches online than I lost. And that is not common
for
me. But man, Tekken 7 is so good. It's such a great game.
People love Tekken. I never got into it, but I know you did, right? On the PS1 era.
I loved Tekken. Yeah. Tekken 3 was like my favorite game. So like Tekken 3 on the PlayStation I loved. And then I might have told the story before, but like all of my friends in high school worked at Family Fun Center or what do they call it? Marshall's, I think is another name for it. I don't know if you call it that wherever you live, but it's basically mini golf in an arcade and sometimes like go-karts, you know, like one of those places. So everyone worked there and one of their perks in working there is they'd get $20 worth of coins a month.
Yeah.
Like they would get like a little baggie full of coins,
which is like $1 million when you're a kid,
and you could use them in the arcade and they never used them. Like all of my friends would just have like the backseat of their car would just have like baggies of coins, right? Like months and months, like hundreds of dollars of coins. Cause they didn't mean anything, right? They're just coins. You can't redeem them for money. Right. And you know, some people would play games, but most of them were like, fuck this place. I work here. Like,
yeah, I want to get the hell out.
I want to get the hell out of here. So, but I would play games. So they would all just give me their coins.
Yeah.
And so I had a group of friends and we would all go to Family Fun Center or to Marshall's. And, And we would just like beat games, right?
Yeah.
We beat like Time Crisis and Time Crisis 2.
Yeah.
Marvel vs. Street Fighter we played so much, or Marvel vs. Capcom at the time. And Tekken 3 was one we played so much. Like,
yeah,
there's so much arcade Tekken 3, like Stance Dancing with Lei, like all that stuff. I loved it. And playing Tekken 7 like brings so much of that back. Cause
that's cool.
The game controls so good. It feels so good to play. It's silly as all fuck, right?
Yeah.
Like you can dress up every character in the dumbest fucking ways, right? Like put a frog hat on them and a Christmas bikini and a giant ninja star on their back. And, you know, like just do the dumbest things. You can make it so when they hit people, little like chibi characters come popping out. Like, you know, they let you customize so much stuff in the dumbest fucking ways. And it's great. And a lot, you know, that, a lot of stuff is free. You just get it with fight money. They're not... There's a lot of DLC for that game, which is the one thing I would say kind of sucks, right? Because the game's not free, right? I think it's like $30 now, but it was full price at launch. And there's hundreds of dollars of DLC, right? Yeah. Like for character DLC and some costumes. But most of it is to unlock all the characters. There's quite a few. But there's still a lot of characters that aren't part of that package. But like I'm missing a lot of characters. But yeah, man. Tekken 7's dope.
Playing it on PS4. How are you playing it?
I'm playing on PC right now. That's just where I've owned it. But
I wonder if that's why it's easier.
It could be. I know like the competitive people are on PlayStation, right?
Yeah,
Fighting games live on PlayStation.
Yeah. And I'm not really sure why. Like it works great on PC, but for some reason obviously use a controller, but it's like just I don't know why. No one seems to play fighting games on PC. Just doesn't feel right. Install base,
I think, is a big part of it. Like controller support, you know, like I think it's part of it because people like DualShocks still aren't that well supported on PC.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is being able to get your hands on enough machines to run the game at 60 FPS at a tournament, right?
That's
like
true.
If you need like 12 systems, right? Like you can probably wrangle up 12 PS4s. Pretty easy, like not, you know, it's not easy, but not that hard. But finding 12 gaming PCs would be a much
I'd be easier than finding 12 PS5s.
Yeah. I bet no one's doing tournaments on PS5s yet. But
that's a good point, though, too. Like, I think the equalization of it, too, right? Like, two very different PCs might have a harder time with the netcode and performance versus, you know, if they're all running on the same console, it just simplifies things for a game where being equal is very important.
If you were trying to do that with PC, you would need 12 pieces of identical PC, or 12 PCs built of identical hardware that you like took everywhere with you. And that's just like such a big ask.
Yeah, that seems a little intense.
Local tournaments and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Now I want a hitbox. You know what that is?
No.
So it's like a fight pad, you know, like a joystick with the big buttons, but there's no joystick. It's all buttons, right? So like the directional buttons are also all joystick buttons, or like the gamepad buttons.
Why?
Because it's easier to do like combo inputs, right?
Hmm.
Like if it's like down, forward, or like diagonals,
you just
hit two buttons at the same time instead of trying to find it with a joystick.
It's just more precise.
And yeah, it's faster, right? And but yeah, they look fun to use, right?
Yeah, like that's cool.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to buy one. The cheapest one I found is like $100. There's a cheap one on AliExpress that's like $30. I might just buy it. I might buy it for the lulz, but it doesn't work on PlayStation. So that kind of...
That sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Who do you play in Tekken? Who's like your main? If you have one.
So it used to always be Lei, the cop, you know, the Jackie Chan guy.
Oh, yeah. Vaguely.
Vaguely? You know who he is?
No, I mean, I know. Yeah, vaguely. I know, I kind of know the Tekken roster. I never was super into it, but just through osmosis.
Yeah, now I wouldn't say I have a main. I've been using Asuka lately. You know who she is?
No. This is more for the listeners than for me, because I probably won't know who any of them are.
So she's like, I don't even know how to describe her. She's just like a girl. She's not like there's not a lot of characteristic about her. She's not like the Lucha Libre girl or the ninja girl, or you know, she's just like a lady. like she's like a Japanese lady. Yeah. But I like using her just because she's really easy, right? Yeah. Like she's kind of a turtly character, so you just kind of block and punish, right? Look for chances to to counterattack or look for whiffs. Like whiff punish is a big thing in Tekken where, you know, someone misses an attack, you got to have like kind of follow-ups to take advantage of the whiff.
Yeah, you can and like uppercut them in the balls or whatever.
Yeah, so you want characters that can make other characters whiff. So anybody that has like step back moves and stuff, so that when they hit a button, you punish them for it. But yeah, it's a really good game. Tekken 7's great. It's hard to say this, but it's better than Street Fighter right now, and I think that's a big statement because I love Street Fighter. I like love everything about Street Fighter. You know, the characters, the music, like I'm a fan, but Tekken 7 is just so fucking good. It's so good.
That's cool. I remember in Tekken 3, there was a little dinosaur. That's all I remember. Gone. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not in Tekken 7, at least not as far as I know.
He messed with the balance a little bit.
I actually think he's in some of the like video, but maybe that's like video from older Tekkens. I feel like I've seen him somewhere, but you know, the bears are still there. You know, Kuma and Panda's there, the other bear.
It's pretty fucking weird.
Yeah. The sword demon guy that bounces around on a sword still there.
You know, Yoshimitsu.
Yoshimitsu, all the old favorites.
Yeah. Heihachi. Yeah.
Heihachi, Paul with the big punch, still punching, still making big punches.
Good old punching Paul.
Good old punching Paul, still there. it's a good ass game.
Play that's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that you were still playing Tekken.
Yeah, if you get a wild hair, you should hit me up because we can try the Steam, player thing. Because whenever I launch Tekken, it's like, invite one of your friends to play. Just click their name on the friends list. And I'm just like, I don't know. No one's going to play.
It's pretty cool, that mode. But it for one thing, someone has to use a keyboard and the other person has to use a controller. So I don't know. It doesn't actually work that well for fighting games. I think Parsec would probably work better. But
there's pros on keyboard.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I mean, to your point about what's the difference between that and that gamepad you're talking about, right? I mean, that's all it is. It's just directional inputs. It's called
a hitbox, Leo.
Okay.
It's called a hitbox.
The hitbox. But essentially, what is a keyboard if not a hitbox with many extra keys?
They actually make a hitbox where the directional keys are like WASD keys.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe give it a shot with your computer. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's the trick.
Maybe I'll take one of my keyboards, pull all the keycaps except for like 10 of them.
Or even just pull out the actual switches so you only have...
No, I'll put thumbtacks in all the other spots. Oh,
hell yeah.
So if I push the wrong button, bam, you get pricked. Right? That's fucking hardcore.
That would be very hardcore.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to show I'm a real fucking gamer. Right? With my blood. With the blood.
Blood, sweat, and tears, literally.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk stocks. We'll talk delays. We'll talk all the big gaming news of the week. Yeah. Yeah, let's just do that. Leo, how was your break?
It wasn't bad. I was going through my PS1 games and I found my copy of Tekken 3.
Oh, really?
It's the green greatest hits version.
Are you ready to throw down, bro?
Well, I remember when it came out, it was one of the few games that EGM gave straight 10s. And I remember being like, what? Straight 10s to a fighting game? But I never really played it. And then at some point I bought it when it was super cheap.
It was fucking amazing. You know,
when the PS2 came out, and I still haven't really ever tried it. But yeah, I remember people really loved it.
PS1 was top tier fighting games, man. Like, because especially 3D fighters, like that was the birth of them. And yeah, I loved playing those on PS1.
They were not good, most of them, though.
Tekken was good,
and that was it. What else was good? That wasn't 2D.
I like Toshinden.
You like Battle Arena Toshinden? Did you like Air Geist?
No, I didn't like that. I liked
Air Geist, God Bless the Ring.
What's the one where you turned into animals?
Beast War? No, Beast something. Beast
something. That shit was fun. All right,
it was like a Beast Fury or something like that. Yeah. This is gonna bug me.
What the fuck was it called? I'm googling this. All right, fighting game.
It's Beast something.
Where you turn into animals was like the first thing that popped up. All right.
Yeah.
It Bloody Roar. Yeah, that's
Bloody it. Roar. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, yeah, totally. That was also not good.
No, that shit was sick, dude.
And then Virtual Fighter, but I guess that was Sega, right? The Dreamcast had some good 3D fighting games.
Yeah, Toe Ball I liked a lot too, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I thought Toeball was really good. I played so much of that game.
You should play Toeball now because it's not good.
I think
I think you'll be very shocked.
No, I think I would still love Toeball. Like, Toeball somehow found a place into my heart, okay? And I played so fucking much of it. I think it was just like you're young and it's the game you have. And I like literally.
Yeah, totally.
And there was a lot of that game. Like, it.
Yeah, you know, like, there was like that whole mode where you like, yeah, there was like a whole single player mode, right?
Yeah, there was a whole single player where we like explored a dungeon and would just get like random fights in a dungeon, and it was like in game fights, you know, like you would just stumble on something in the dungeon and be like, and you just start fighting. There was no like, like load into it. I found that like really impressive, actually.
Maybe we should do a Toeball rebirth.
Yeah, maybe I will. I'm gonna become the Toeball pro. And then you guys will fucking
see. You will have very little competition, so I think you should.
You guys will see what's up. I'm bringing it to tournaments. Evo 2021, Toeball.
Not Toeball number two, though. Not
Toeball number one. That's the real shit.
Did you ever play Power Stone on the Dreamcast? That was fun.
I loved Power Stone. That game
That was a fun game. It's not like a serious fighting game because it's completely unbalanced, but it was really fun.
It was, you know, like Smash Brothers, you know, where.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just like fun thing. And the environmental hazards were so good in Power Stone. Yeah,
that was awesome.
Like, there was a pirate ship one, right? Where it would just like start shooting fucking cannonballs at you or something. I don't remember. I just remember it was fucking crazy, that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great game.
I was playing Power Stone on my phone the other day just to like, obviously I wasn't playing very well, but it was, I was like, yeah, this game was cool, man. Like, it had a really unique vibe.
Yeah, and it just played really well. You know, like, that's the thing too. It just felt good to play. Like,
and it looked great on the Dreamcast. Yeah. Like, that Dreamcast look, I still really like that look. But it was really cool. It was such high res at the time.
Yeah, great game. I loved Power Stone. So my joke was going to be that during the break, I went on to my stonks and bought some GameSpot stonks because I'm in it for the. For the rise.
GameSpot, you say?
Yeah, GameSpot is, I hear it's blowing up.
The famous gaming site.
Yeah, I hear it's blowing up. Someone told me to hold. And so I gave somebody like $3,000. And he said I was going to be a millionaire. And so.
Was it? And, who did you give this to? Was it someone from CBS?
Somebody said, I do stocks. Give me $3,000 for GameSpot and you'll be a millionaire. And how could you refuse, right?
Like, did it work? Are you a millionaire now?
I'm still waiting. I've been looking on Robinhood for it, but I haven't found it yet. But I hear Robinhood's like fucking everybody. So that's probably
why. They probably suspended trading of GameSpot.
Yeah, they're probably hiding it, right? Because they they're fucking in the pocket of big hedge fund, you know. The good news is I did buy a couple $100 of Dogecoin.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's like, funny. Like, I don't know, what day was it blowing up? Like Thursday or something?
Yeah.
And, I just made $300 in a couple hours and then sold it all.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was pretty it's fun. I mean, I still have a bunch of Ethereum and it's like a check in every once in a while. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, actually.
Still, it's just going for it, I guess. All right. I
actually bought more Dogecoin today after selling. So nice. Hopefully Doge makes another run. We'll see.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, we could get into it, but it really does highlight just how utterly absurd this entire like financial infrastructure that we've developed is, how like profoundly silly it is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very interesting.
I think generally, like, there's a way that it functions and it works, right? Like maybe not perfectly, but in general, like the idea of, you know, investing in companies, owning a share of that company, and that company kind of bases its value on those investments is sound, right?
Yeah, I agree.
It's the shorting and stuff. It's these weird fucking loophole rules.
It's the instruments. Yeah, the financial instruments we saw in 2008. Like, it gets so convoluted and it's so absurd. Even options and calls, it's like, all right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Is this adding value to anyone? No, it's not.
Yeah, I heard the best description of, like, this whole GameSpot. This whole GameStop thing, like, described. And it was like, what if one guy, you know, like, realized there's going to be a coupon on Nintendo Switches next week and convinced all his neighbors that he would buy them for all his kids for Christmas and collected their money. And then someone else just bought all the Nintendos before he could get them. Right.
Yep.
And then he had to find Nintendos to pay the debt he made to the people he was like already sold them to. Right.
Yeah.
And that's really all this is, right? Is he's just like, how can I get some fucking Nintendos to cover all these people that I told whose money I took, right?
I mean, it's very similar to Ponzi scheme. Yeah. Like, and I know it's not the same, but there is, it's covering your losses, or not your losses, but like covering actual things that you own.
Yeah.
And you have to find them. It's very silly.
And it goes through these phases of initially like, okay, we'll pay more to save face, right? Like we'll pay a little bit more as long as we can get them and save face, to we can't afford them anymore and there's none left. What the fuck are we going to do? Right. And that's kind of where we're at now. And yeah, fuck those people, man. That's all I got to say. Like this idea that you can somehow just like borrow and flip like that. And for one, like not like never realize that like, oh, we just got to cut our losses. Like that's unacceptable to you, you know?
Yeah.
And so you just allow this to run into infinity. And then now you owe trillions and trillions of dollars, and you're just like, nah, we're going to fix this.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I have very little sympathy for those, you know, like, big hedge funds, too, because it's like, this is part of the game, right? Yeah. This is why you get paid so much, is because shit like this happens, and it's not a sure thing, and nothing's a sure thing, and this is kind of a great example of that. So to be like, can't believe these fucking internet people wipe me out. It's like, yeah, dude, that's what happens when you're like, when you play in the stock market, this kind of shit happens. It's just the way the game's played. No one did anything illegal.
Yeah. And they were willing to take risk, you know, like that's
a huge risk. And shorting's the ultimate risk because it can go all the way down to zero.
And these Reddit
or negative,
the Wall Street Bets people were willing to like out risk you. You know what I mean? Like as much as of a risk you took, they took out, they risked everything to like,
they just democratized it a little bit more
to financially like hold your fucking feet to the fire. And and you could have bailed. That's the thing that's like crazy to me, right? Like when this thing started climbing, they could have just been like, fuck it, we got burned, we lost a few hundred billion dollars. It's a lot of goddamn money, but that's just the way this cookie crumbles. We failed at this investment, right?
Yeah.
But instead
it's a bad investment.
Instead it's just like, we're gonna fix this. It's like, no, you're not.
And we're gonna get mad at people on Reddit.
Yeah, we're gonna get mad.
That's, like, that's gonna work.
Yeah.
I think my biggest issue with this whole thing, and I stayed completely out of it because I don't like that. You know, it's that old thing of like,
and some Best BlackBerry. Yeah.
I just didn't want to like even get involved, so I stayed out of it. But what pissed me off about the whole thing was that I fucking hate GameStop, and I was like, why'd it have to be GameStop? And I know it was sort of a joke, and that's what everyone's shorting. I get it. Like, there were reasons for it. But part of it, too, was I think people have fond memories. You know, people our age, who this was, they're essentially the ones funding this, you know, have fond memories of GameStop. But I was like, man, I hate GameStop. Like, why couldn't you take, like, some small game company, you know, whose stock was floundering, like, I don't know, Take Two or something, whoever. Yeah. Whoever, whatever publicly traded company that actually is good. But GameStop sucks. So there was something very, like, I don't want their stock to go up. I know that wasn't really the point, but it was like, nah, man, I want GameStop to go out of business. Why couldn't they have chose something else?
Yeah, it was uniquely primed for a squeeze, though.
No, totally. I get that. But even so, it's just like, nah, man, fuck GameStop.
Well, you know, it's funny, too. I think we all had this like non-unique idea of like, man, GameStop is tanking right now. They're about to go bankrupt. Like, maybe I should buy some GameStop. You know, like at the kind of early in this pandemic, right? There was just kind of all this fervor around how bad GameStop is doing. And I'm like, man, they could just only sell Funko Pops in their stores and their stock price will probably rise, you know? But no one, no one ever imagined like this kind of tug of war would start to exist over their shares. And just,
I keep thinking about their, like, and this is a total fantasy, but I always imagine like the day this happened, whenever it was, their like marketing manager, I always imagine him, he's like some 25-year-old, which I'm sure is not true. But he like wakes up and he just sees all this shit and he's like, oh my God, what is happening? Yeah. Like, I just can't imagine the people who work at GameStop. Like, it's just fucking crazy. Like, you can never in a million years anticipate something like this happening ever.
Yeah, I like to imagine there's some like former GameStop manager that got laid off because of their shitty practices. And instead of giving him any severance, they're like, I don't know. We'll give
here's
you like
stock.
We'll give you like some 10 shares stock worth nothing, right?
And
or like, you know, 100 shares at $9, you get less than $1,000 in shares, right?
Instead of a severance.
And he's just like, fuck you guys, and just walks out and never did anything with it. And now he's like, you know, $150,000 richer for it, right? Like, what a fucking shit show.
That's funny.
Yeah, I guess we're talking about it, assuming you guys are all familiar with it, and I assume you are. What kind of went down as far as GameStop. I mean, we did kind of describe it, but
yeah, basically, like, essentially, GameStop.
God damn
it.
GameStop.
You screwed me up. GameStop stock sucks.
It was
sucks
a bit. Okay, I'll admit it. It was a bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he didn't really do that, everybody. Basically, yeah, Reddit got together to buy a stock that was undervalued, or actually properly valued, because they learned that hedge funds were shorting it and just drove up the value. And now some people got rich, a lot of hedge funds got pissed off. And really, the only reason we're talking about it is because it is GameStop, which is something we've talked about a lot in the show, because they are terrible, but they were a very big part of the gaming scene for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Stonks.
Yeah, we're talking stonks. But my mom talked to me about it, so I suspect anyone listening to the show has probably heard about it.
I assume so as well. All right, let's get to some actual game news stories.
Yeah.
The shit people are really here to talk about. Now, this is a real heartbreaker. This is something you sent to me, Leo, and I was taken aback. I was devastated.
He was absolutely inconsolable. It was quite ugly.
I was speechless. But luckily it was a few days ago, so now my speech has returned.
And yeah, just in time
to talk about that. Ninja Theory will no longer add content to Bleeding Edge.
This such is a tragedy.
Rock, Paper, Shotgun from...
Never got its time in the sun.
Yeah, it... Did that game ever launch? You know, like...
Apparently it did.
I have reservations about Ninja Theory. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I think we talked about earlier, Hellblade was an interesting game. I would not call it a good game. I know that's probably up for debate. I'm sure a lot of people really like that game. But with Hellblade and then this and then Hellblade and then Project Mara and Insight Project as their like slate of releases coming, it seems like a tough spot for
they did some other games though, right? Didn't they did, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think they did Odyssey of the West, right? And they did Heavenly Sword on PS3.
Which were
both very cool games.
Let's look at everything they've done. Ninja Theory. They have done... Man, this is not giving me a lot of good answers. Heavenly Sword, Enslaved, yeah. Odyssey of the West.
Yeah, right? those were both very good games, yeah. To be fair. And much more like traditional like game games.
Much more traditional game games. DMC.
Oh, yeah, that was them. That's right.
Yeah.
The reboot.
And then Disney Infinity, Marvel Super Heroes, Hellblade.
Yeah.
And Star Wars VR, Vader Immortal, which was not good.
Yeah. So they're kind of all over the place, but like it's not like they've never made a cool game before.
Yeah, I mean...
It's been a while.
Honestly, the West was 11 years ago, you know?
Yeah, that was cool, though.
Hellblade's cool. Like, I'm not...
It is cool.
I think the games they make are cool... Other than Bleeding Edge, I just don't know if cool
is... You've never played Bleeding Edge. It could be the greatest game of all time. I've you don't fucking know. I've
seen it on stream before, and it was not that cool.
It didn't knock your socks off?
There were, like, skateboards, which I thought was, like, hoverboards. And
that's pretty badass.
I'm into a hoverboard. I'll give you that. But
you should play Quake Champions. There's a hero in Quake Champions that was a hoverboard. You'd love it.
All right, download it now. You sold me. Yeah, I just... is cool enough, you know, and maybe it is. Like, it seems like they're doing okay. Well, you know what really makes me curious, and this is something that came up with the Medium as well, is, man, I am so curious how these Microsoft deals go, right? Like, Game Pass. Agreed. Like, there was a news story about how the Medium, you know, already made back all of its development budget plus marketing. And for one, there must have been fucking no marketing, right? Because
I don't think there was a lot.
I didn't see shit about this game.
And also, it was a small team, yeah. So I don't think their development costs were all that terribly high.
Yeah, but even so, like, what did they get from Microsoft? You know what I mean? Like, how does that deal go down? How much do they get as far as, like, development? It's just so interesting to know, like, how that factors into their game revenue and how, like... How feasible is this Microsoft plan? You know, because it just doesn't seem... It seems like there must be some scaling issues with Microsoft. Like, even based on them doubling their price or trying to double their price for live gold.
Failing to do so.
Right? Yeah. Like, there must be some pressure to either up the game Game Pass numbers or get people on this ultimate plan, right? Like, this is... we need people on Ultimate. It's the way that this is profitable, is if everyone's on Ultimate. And, yeah. And you know, just the finances behind all that is just, like, mystifying to me. And I'm so curious.
I agree with you 100%. And we talked about this at length last week, so if you didn't listen to that episode, you should. But it was, Microsoft is quite a mystery, you know? They're so opaque. I mean, we know they have unlimited money, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, the way they're using it is utterly incomprehensible. And this is kind of an example of that, of just, like, I wonder what the hell's going on.
Yeah, what the hell is going on, man? Like,
and speaking of, I have to tell you a quick anecdote about Microsoft.
I want
to
hear it.
So, you know, I've been trying to get a PS5.
I heard.
And I was looking at Series X just because I was like, I don't know, man. I got to get something. I can't get a GPU. Can't get a PS5. Like, come on, man. I want to play, like, Assassin's Creed on something. But they're all sold out as well. Mm-hmm. But then my friend bought two Series S, which is the shittier version, right?
We glue them together? I make a Series
yeah,
X.
Yeah, glue them together. Yeah. And he asked if I wanted it at cost. And I did not buy it, but I could have. But anyway, I thought you'd be proud. I thought about it, but then I was like, nah. What the hell am I going to use it for?
Yeah, what the hell are you going to use it for? That's my thing. Like, I could see having a Series S to, like, I don't know. I don't even know. I was going to say, like,
well, it's like a bridge, yeah, right? It's like it's just until I can find something else.
I could see having it to, like, hook up to my PC, like, or hook up to, like, my PC monitor, because it's small. PC. Well, to my PC, like, so it's small. Yeah. It could sit on my desk. You know, yeah. I could use it to launch, like, you could get Xbox console Game Pass on there and have a bunch of games you wouldn't get access to. It's not that expensive. Yeah. Like, I could see some value in that, but yeah, it would still just collect dust on my desk in that instance as well, right? Like,
and it's still $300. It's not like it's
not like it's free.
Exactly. If it was 150, maybe even 200, I might have pulled the trigger on it, even though I don't really want one. But I was like, nah, 300, that's a lot.
Yeah.
For something I don't really want. And I only really want it because I can't get something better. Like, that's kind of depressing. So I passed up on it. I thought you'd be proud of me.
I am proud of you. I really do wish the PS5 was smaller. Like, I like the PS5. I know not everyone loves the style, but it's fine. I just wish it would fit on my desk, right? Like,
it's very large.
I love having a console on my desk so I can sit in my computer chair, like, so I can move it back and forth at different times. It really does look like the bowl that is cucking my PS4 in my entertainment center. Like, it is just, like, giant and, like, just standing over that poor little PS4. That thing looks like it's just quivering in the corner.
And you have a base PS4, right?
Yeah, so it's even smaller. Yeah, I have a base PS4. Yeah. If I had the Slim, that poor guy would just have nowhere to go. But, yeah, it's pretty funny.
That is funny. I'm sure there'll be a Slim PS5. And, that sounds a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know what they're going to do, because their cooling is, like, such a big part of it. And I will say that thing doesn't make a sound, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which it's I like.
That's, yeah. But they'll figure it out. They always do this. Like, you remember the first PS3?
Yeah.
That fucking giant bulbous.
I like that PS3.
I know. You just like weird, giant, I love, ugly consoles.
I love weird shit, you know?
Do you love the original Xbox?
Kind of. I mean,
I like the console, but man, it was big.
I do accept the fact that it's really just like a Xbox is too boring with their fucking, like, you can be giant, but don't be boring. And I feel like it's just boring. It's like a computer case, you know, the original Xbox. It's like a computer case on its side.
But it had that giant green logo.
Yeah, it did have a giant green. But a lot of computer cases have
nuts.
A lot of computer cases have that bullshit on them too. Like, it wasn't
shaped. Especially at the time.
Yeah, it wasn't shaped weird. It wasn't like, it was super fucking heavy.
It was a big piece of tech. Very large.
Yeah. Plus, you know, that thing was so moddable that you ended up taking it apart a lot. And you're like, oh, this is just a computer case. You know? Like,
yeah, literally.
It literally is just a PC. And I always found that, like, disappointing, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
When, like, look at how, like, weird Nintendos look and how they're all shaped fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And,
the GameCube.
I mean, even the SNES, like, you know, looking at it now, the SNES looks so cool now, right? Like, in retrospect, looking back.
I don't like it.
Really? I think
I'm looking at one right now. Well, it's the mini that I bought. It's on my TV right here in my little room. But I've never liked it. It's just too, I don't like the purple and gray. It's just too childish looking for me. And I don't say that because I'm like cool adult guy. It's just, even when I was young, I was like, God, it's so ugly. Like the PlayStation looks so much cooler to me.
I mean, I think the Super Famicom looks better than the
I was about to say, actually looks dope.
Yeah, Super Famicom looks dope, but.
I agree.
I do like the SNES too. I mean, the purple's not the best, but I think the profile of it's so good. It looks like a race car or something, right? Like, which I think is cool. Like it's a cool shape. Xbox has
always been, at least it was unique.
Yeah, Xbox has always been so fucking boring to look at, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Which I don't love. But, all right, so one more news story before we get out of here. Returnal, everyone's highlight game of the year. The thing everyone's waiting for to solidify 2021 as the year of...
the greatest year ever.
The greatest year. Returnal has been delayed until April 30th. In other news,
Returnal's the one that's like this lady in space, right?
Yeah, I was sure it was the lady from Game of Thrones, but I don't think it is.
I mean, that game looked cool. I mean, it was a cool trailer, but there was just so many trailers that all kind of looked the same that it's hard to keep track. But
yeah, the trailer looked cool, like the cutscenes and stuff, but the gameplay looks, I don't know what it is.
It reminded me of like Lost Planet almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what that game is still, you know? And Housemarque makes like arcadey style games, you know, like no disrespect to Housemarque. I think that's
what else did they do?
They made Resogun, Storm Divers, Matterfall, Alienation, Dead Nation, you know, a lot of these like Xbox arcade style games, right? Yeah. Where it's like Twin Sticks and good games, like good ones of those, you know. So I don't know, this seems like a real it's being presented as a very different game than those, but I don't know if it's actually going to be when you get into it, right? Is it really going to be just like a bullet simulator in third person once you actually like get into the game? I don't really know yet. I feel like we haven't really seen, and I'm not that excited about it anyway, I'll be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's always interesting to see, but who knows? You know, a lot of delays.
Everything's getting delayed. The Rona's got us down.
Still no Halo.
Still no. I mean, is Halo going to come out ever?
I think so.
Maybe.
That'd be crazy if they were just like, never mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
Forget all that.
Yeah.
Wait till the next one.
I heard a theory that, you know, the free-to-play thing for Xbox, you know, where they allowed you to play free-to-play games now without live. Someone was saying that this is all speculation, that they'd plan to release that with Halo, since Halo's going to be free-to-play multiplayer. You know, like that was kind of part of that pitch, and they're just like, fucking launch it now, you know, like,
yeah,
because that's not something you can do in a day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like we talked about last week, there was obviously some other shit going on there.
Yeah, a lot of these things had to already be in place, and that's one of those things where it's like maybe they wanted to launch that with Halo, and then Halo got delayed, so they were kind of holding back on doing that, and now it's like,
and then they're like, oh shit, everyone's mad at us,
now they have this
something,
this feature
set. It's like throwing something to the wild dogs that are chasing you.
Yeah, they have this feature set ready to launch that they can't launch because the game is supposed to launch with isn't launching, and they're just like, give them the feature, you know, and they're like,
give them something, oh my god.
Yeah.
They're like, storming the Bastille.
Yeah, seriously. God, fucking Microsoft.
Seriously. That's what we should call this podcast.
Fucking
Microsoft.
I would definitely make a podcast called Fucking Microsoft if you wanted to, if you were down with it. What else? Anything else happened in games, Leo? I think I forgot before
get out of here today. There was one thing I wanted to talk about. It's not really news related, but it was just kind of a cool experience I had. Have you ever used Moonlight?
No.
So Moonlight is it's on Android, and I think it's on iOS, but it essentially uses NVIDIA's whatever their like streaming service is that you can just activate through GeForce Experience, and then you can stream your gaming computer to any Android device.
Oh, I've heard of this Switch modders use it to play games on their Switch.
Oh yeah, you probably could if you had Android on your Switch.
Switch is basically Android, I think. Like I think that's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, it works great. So what I did is I kind of just wanted to test it. So I downloaded the app on my phone and it took a little bit of setting up, but it was surprisingly easy. And then I just started playing Resident Evil 2 and I was playing on my phone. I hooked up my PS4 controller as a controller to my Android phone, which was very easy. Just instantly did it, which was cool. I'd actually never done that before. And I was playing Resident Evil 2 perfectly with a PS4 controller on my phone.
Amazing.
It was really amazing. It was very cool. And I was like, this is awesome. I played a little bit of Final Fantasy 14. That didn't work super well just because it's a PC game, very much so. But it was still fucking cool to just be running around Limsa Lominsa on my phone. It was really neat. And I think this is a classic example of something I'll never use, really, because I can't imagine when I would. Maybe if I was, like, sick and wanted to play a PC game, like, in bed. But it only works really well for, like, games you can use a controller for. So it kind of limits it. But still, it was just neat. And the fact it was free and took, like, 5 minutes to set all that up. If you're like me and you like just fucking around with stuff like that, it's definitely worth checking out. Like I said, it only works with an NVIDIA card, an NVIDIA GPU, though. There's probably alternatives. I know Steam has one, and I think AMD has one too. It just requires a different app. But yeah, it's definitely kind of a fun little novelty.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I mean, I don't know if I'd ever play games on my phone like that, but...
Yeah, I don't know when you would, but you could.
Seeing the use case for the Switch doing it seemed neat, right? Because that's like a bigger screen with controllers already. Like, it's a hardware set that makes sense for it. So,
yeah.
I think other ways you can use that application, like, you know, tethering to a tablet maybe with a controller attached or whatever.
Exactly.
Pretty interesting.
It's just neat that it worked so well and was so, you know, so smooth to set up. It was neat. And it was all free. So I just, I like that open source shit.
Well, I love technology, Leo. So I appreciate you telling me all about that.
Hell yeah. Moonlight.
Check it out. Hell yeah. All right. With that being said, let's get out of here, Leo. It's Sunday.
Let's do it.
And
I gotta go play Resident Evil 2 on my phone.
I gotta check these stonks, man. I think I might have done something.
gotta check your Dogecoin.
I might have done something wrong here. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you. Appreciate your help. None of our advice is stock advice.
None of it's really useful at all.
Don't buy stocks because we said so. That would be,
for God's sake,
against the law and a bad idea.
But feel free to buy some GameSpot.
Yeah, buy some GameSpot. We got to pump that GameSpot. Hold. Let me know if you find the ticker for it, because I am having a hard time finding the ticker for it. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great February. Thanks for a great January with us.
Yeah.
We love you, and go play some games.